Well, this morning I wanted to share with you some of the things that the Lord has been helping me with and some things that the Lord has put on my heart to share.
You need some more sound. Turn up your hearing
aid. I don't know how many others might struggle with this particular topic, but nevertheless, I think it's worthwhile to look at. First off, a few months ago, at one of our table leaders meetings, I was asked to consider teaching for 2 Sundays in our Grace Life class. And after many weeks of trying to talk myself out of it, knowing I'd like to be a nervous wreck in front of you all, I finally said yes, and I am a nervous wreck. But I knew that God would be with me in every moment of the way. So I sat down and tried to think of a topic that hadn't been taught before, or at least a topic that hadn't been covered here at Grace Life. After much prayer and reflection, I decided that I would talk about something that I myself struggle with, knowing that it was possible that I wasn't alone in my struggle with distractions. We live in a world that's full of distractions. Some distractions are good and some distractions are not so good. This Sunday, I'm going to focus on areas of distractions that are not so good. Distractions come in many forms and disguises. Some distractions we may not even recognize as such. So first off, what is a distraction? The dictionary defines it this way. To draw the mind or attention away in another direction. To divert, draw in conflicting directions, or to create conflict or confusion. I think the first meaning will be the best one to use for this lesson today, and that is to draw the mind or attention away in another direction, namely distractions that draw our attention or focus from God, away from God. Well, let's start by answering the table time questions on the sheets in front of you, and we'll get back together about 9:30. All right. I trust you discovered quite a few distractions that we might encounter in our everyday lives. So this morning, I want to talk about a few specific ones, some of which I struggle with. Some of these distractions you might have come up with as well during your table time. So one of these distractions for me is work. Often I find myself concentrating so much on the many tasks at hand, especially at my job, that I kind of lose my godly mindset and Christ-like focus. Once in a while, I have an opportunity to work alongside a coworker who is a Christian, and during these times, it's a lot easier to stay focused on Christ since we talk about the godly things together. These times are a true blessing for me, for sure. But other times when working alone, which is most of the time, I find myself concentrating way too much on getting the unending list of tasks finished, sometimes becoming impatient when someone comes along and interrupts me. During these times, sadly, I seem to put God on the back burner, if you will, both in mind and in practice. Shame on me. One of the pitfalls during these times is not seeing the God-ordained opportunities for me and all of us as Christians to glorify God as we should. In our striving to get all our work done, we must remain spiritually alert, being ready, when appropriate, to share the hope that is in us with those people that God places around us each day, remembering to invest in the things with lasting and spiritual value. Unfortunately, it is all too easy at work to just blend in, acting just like a non-believer, oftentimes making compromises and justifying our sin. It is clear in God's word that we are called to be aliens in this dark world, shining and standing out in our Christ-like attitudes and behavior, so that others may see Christ in us and be drawn to him as well. I am thankful for God's grace and patience with me as he grows me in this area. Another distraction I want to address is busyness, the kind that often reveals itself outside of the workplace. An example of this may be those who have plates that are overflowing with to-do lists, and in their attempt to conquer them all, they find themselves struggling with a balance of every kind. This could be a working professional who works long hours, and maybe as a family, juggling kids and sports and doing their best to attend to all the needs of their spouse and home, sadly, finding themselves with little or no time to spend in prayer, and most importantly, no time to listen to what the Lord wants to teach them as they commune with Him and spend time in His Word. All of this may just be a season of life, but God wants our worship to be first and foremost unto Him. You shall have no other gods before me, says the Lord in Exodus 20, verse 3. He wants our loyalty no matter what how busy our lives get. And then there is the well-known example of busyness in Luke 10, 38 through 42. Let's turn there. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. I'm sure you all know this passage. Now, as they were traveling along, he, Jesus, entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, so she came to Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Well, Martha here was so distracted and consumed with her busyness that she didn't even consider the importance of the Lord himself being in her home. Instead of focusing on him and listening to what was important to our Lord, Martha was worried and distracted by busyness and details that are, in comparison, less important. She could have been listening to God himself speaking to her. Properly balancing all the things that make us busy and our time with the Lord will usually result in a life that displays God's strength and his leadership in all that we do. So in our busyness, let us ask the Lord to continually show us what is best or what is less. Another distraction that can take our focus off God is social media, or for that matter, any media. This is a big one for most of us today. You may just be innocently and quickly checking on a family member or a friend on Facebook, and then the scrolling starts. Pretty soon you have read hundreds of posts, and a whole hour or two of your day is gone. Social media can, as you know, be a blessing and a curse. It's great that we have ability to share prayer requests or share about something important that's happening with us and our loved ones, and it's awesome being able to listen to sermons online. But a lot of times, the quick break in the day turns into a fixation on having to see what's happening with everyone. You know what I'm talking about. Again, obviously, there are some blessings to social media, but the daily chatter, reading about what everyone is doing or what everyone is eating all day, is a time-consuming distraction that we can all take a good hard look at and make adjustments in light of our spiritual priorities. Everywhere we turn, there is some sort of media right in front of us, competing for our time. Like TV shows or a movie on TV, they just seem to have a way of drawing you in. The media cleverly designs it so that you basically can't stop watching. Then they leave you hanging just before a commercial, so that you'll anxiously wait through that commercial and then watch the rest of the program or movie. The show or movie already has you hooked for an hour or two, and then there's the enticements of the commercials, advertising anything and everything, trying to convince you that their product is something you need or can't live without. And of course, it's the latest and greatest, new and improved, easier and better, and so forth. And you know the majority of commercials, they aren't exactly the purest things to the eyes. That's for sure. They somehow use women in bikinis to sell a man a lawnmower. or a new car. Well, another media-related distraction that can get our focus off of God is or take time away from our precious time with the Lord are video games. These games have become so lifelike in their graphics and actions that they can easily suck us in. And as you well know, this isn't just kid stuff anymore. Go into any retail store that sells gaming systems and you'll find adults purchasing them or buying the newest versions for themselves. These games are cleverly designed with levels to keep us plugged in, playing feverishly until we get better and better, eventually advancing to the top. Well, at least until the newest version comes out in just a few months, and so on and so on. Along with the newest gaming systems, there is endless variety of online games. These games can consume even more of our time and distract from our time with the Lord and His Word, because we can access them on our smartphones and tablets, keeping us connected literally everywhere we go. Sadly, our Bible Gateway or other beneficial Bible apps just get mixed up with the other 100 apps that we have on our phones, all competing for our precious and valuable time. And if online games weren't potentially bad enough, there's online gambling, designed to be extremely addictive, which potentially can lead to long-term devastating consequences. It can lead people to lose their jobs, go in debt, and can even break up families. This leads us to our next distraction, money. This category probably made it on some of your list during our table time questions. Money can certainly distract us from God and other valuable spiritual things. Well, money has been around for centuries, and it too can be both a blessing and a curse. Money itself does not interfere with our walk or focus on God, but the love of money can. The well-known passage in Matthew 6:24 says that no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. And then there's 1 Timothy 6:10, stating that the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Even though this scripture was referring to the false teachers, it can be true in this application as well. And we know by reading the book of Job that Job was a righteous man who God chose to bless with wealth. Job kept his focus on the Lord, not letting wealth, or even the absence of wealth when he lost everything, to be a distraction from his relationship with the Lord. And then there's Abraham, another man with great wealth, who didn't let his wealth become a distraction as well. He remained faithful to God, even when Abraham had no knowledge of the direction that God was leading him, leaving his own comfort and security for every kind of uncertainty. Abraham remained obedient even when God asked him to sacrifice his own son's life. Then there's David, who was a king who potentially could have anything that he wanted, and yet he relied on God for everything. As we read in many of the Psalms that David wrote, he continually relies on the Lord for his help, having a heart that praised God for his goodness and blessings, not letting his wealth and position as king be a distraction to his relationship with God. And of course, there are plenty of examples in the Bible of those who sadly did let money distract them from God. For example, the tax collectors and money changers, who used the temple as a place for their sordid gain. They could set their taxes as high as they wanted so that they could freely pocket the inflated amount. Then there's Judas Iscariot with the chief priest, who gave Judas 30 shekels of silver to lead them to Jesus. And we can't forget about Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5:1-6. They held back money that they had evidently promised to the church, and lying to the Holy Spirit, they showed that how money definitely affected the decisions that they made. And you know how their story ends. Another example from Scripture was Solomon. He was the wisest man in history, who also had great wealth. In 1 Kings 3, Solomon asked the Lord for an understanding heart so that he could judge the people rightly. This pleased the Lord that he would ask for wisdom instead of a long life and riches. The Lord answered Solomon's prayer, but also blessed him with riches and honor. Solomon knew that his wisdom and wealth came from God, but later he was so self-focused on himself that he let himself be distracted from the true treasure, God himself. Solomon had many wives from other nations, which God had forbidden, and Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. But later, Solomon would pen the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, warning his readers to avoid walking through this life with mere human wisdom, urging them to cling to the revealed wisdom of God. Another distraction that I'd like to look at is illness. Illness can be a distraction, unless you're Paul. Because when we are sick or suffering with pain, it's difficult to keep our focus on God. Whether you're suffering with a cold or flu, injuries or chronic conditions, often leading to fatigue, all of these ailments can make it difficult to stay alert and focus on God. And since we will all suffer in these earthly bodies, in one way or another, we must be careful during these times of illness and pain to proactively battle Satan in his attempts to get our focus off of God. The next category of possible distraction that I'd like to look at this morning is relationships. Whether it be friends, siblings, spouses, parents, boyfriends, girlfriends, children, co-workers, bosses, the list can go on. It's possible to allow one or many of these relationships to distract us from God. We all have relationships of some sort. They connect us to each other and connect us to the world around us. After all, God calls us to love one another in quite a few places in His Word. And as you know, we can easily let our relationships with others get our focus off of God. Sadly, we just put our Lord and Savior somewhere on the list. This should not be so. God deserves our wholehearted attention and devotion. Probably the relationships with the most potential for becoming a distraction from our walk and intimacy with God would be that of a boyfriend, girlfriend, or a spouse. I'm not pointing fingers here. I say this because these relationships seem to demand more time compared to our other relationships. That is why it is extremely important that these primary relationships remain centered around God. Our natural tendency is to spend the majority of our time with our boyfriend or girlfriend or spouse. Unfortunately, it is just way too easy to cut things out of our day, like our time with the Lord, just to make up that time that we spend with our special someone. Our relationships with people, while here on earth, are important and a huge blessing, but our relationship with God is the most important, the only relationship that is eternal. Another distraction may be our sports or our hobbies. My hobby happens to be the sport of fishing. As many of you know, I love to learn new ways and learn of new places to catch fish, particularly salmon. I enjoy taking people out on my boat who have never been out fishing in the Puget Sound before and to attempt to catch a salmon or other saltwater species. It gives my heart joy to see someone playing their first fish. I invest quite a bit of time trying to learn ways to be more successful at it, and I don't hesitate to thank God when we do actually catch fish. But sadly, I also have a tendency to rely on my own efforts and then beat myself up when we don't catch fish. God should be relied on and praised either way. He has provided for me abundantly everything I need to go out, after all. At one time in my life, fishing was my God. I lived for it. I couldn't wait for the weekend to get here so that I could get a line in the water. But after the Lord saved me, calling me to Himself, I saw just how much I love fishing more than practically anything else. Knowing that this wasn't a good thing, I asked God to help me in my pursuit to be devoted and committed to Him as my Lord and Savior. It is all too easy to not pursue or just half-heartedly pursue the Lord due to our sinful natures, putting our own pleasures above pleasing our Lord. We know that when we live by our own sinful natures, we struggle greatly to get close to God. This is a constant battle that we as Christians face, this side of heaven. Other hobbies or sports can be the same. Take football, for example. The game is on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., and you really want to see that game. You've been looking forward to it for weeks, and now you have to decide whether to skip church, record the game to watch it later. Sadly, a lot of times you'll just skip church so that you'll be able to see that game firsthand. I can remember reading about a church that decided they would watch the playoffs at the church instead of the regular service because it was the pastor's favorite team. I wonder how pleased God was with that worship. God has given us many things to enjoy in this life, but things in their right place are not bad. But elevating them above God or making them an idol is. All of these distractions that I've touched on today are not bad or wrong in and of themselves, unless you put them ahead of God, either in your heart or in practice. God in His Word has much to say about idols. In fact, He mentioned them in the second commandment, recorded in Exodus 20, verse 4, by saying, "You shall not make for yourself an idol." And in Leviticus 19:4, He says, "Do not turn to idols or make them for yourselves any molten gods. I am the Lord your God." And in 1 John 5:18 through 21, John makes the contrast between the one true God and idols, giving the warning for men to guard themselves from idols. As you've probably heard spoken before, a person will always do what they want to do, and oftentimes revealing to us our areas of idolatry. I do want to reiterate that the examples that I've mentioned here this morning are not necessarily idols, unless they have been placed above God's rightful place, either in our hearts or in the way we live our daily lives. Many times we read in the Old Testament about Israel forgetting God and going after other things. This is not just a story of Israel. It's a story of humanity. It can be the story of my life and of yours. I'm hoping that the distractions that I've mentioned today, work, busyness, media, money, illness, relationships, and hobbies and sports, will help us all during our times of personal reflection and our ongoing struggle to keep God in His rightful place. I am so thankful for God's grace and patience with me in many of these areas. So many days I can say to myself or say to others, I just don't have enough time in the day to get everything done that I need to, and be completely faithful to my Bible studies and prayer time. But during these times, I have to ask myself the very difficult but important question. Did I not have time, or did I not make time for the important spiritual things that would please my Lord and Savior? That is a tough question for sure. Did I really not have time, or did I not make time? And I got a lot of time left, and I don't have any material. I was distracted. Well, thanks for letting me share this morning. I'll do better in 2 weeks to share again. So let's end with prayer. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity you've given me to share my heart. And Lord, as I think of these distractions, I do think of who I'm distracted from. And I pray, Lord, that you would just make that evident to me and all of us, if that's what we struggle with, as we go on about our days, that we put you first and foremost on any area of our life. And Father, the distraction that most happens to us, Lord, that you would just show up in front of it, that you would just be evident, and Lord, that we would see our sin by not being distracted from you. Lord, we thank you again for this morning, and I just pray that what I shared, Lord, would help someone, or at least bring it to light about me. And I thank you again. In your name I pray. Amen.